Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the First Team All-Pro Podcast. This is episode 34, and today we got a lot on the plate to talk about, or a lot on the agenda to talk about. We got to talk about the NFL divisional round and the wild card recaps. I have not put out an episode to recap. I was going to kind of just let these first two games, let the first two rounds of games, of playoff games, go, so I could just make that into one episode. And then on top of that, we're going to talk about the recent MLB Hall of Fame inductions, who's getting into the Hall of Fame, who didn't get into the Hall of Fame, and so on and so forth. But let's start with the NFL. Let's first recap the wild card rounds. I mean, most of the games, first off, some of my predictions went off the rails. Actually, two of my predictions went off the rails for the wild card round. I had the Bengals winning, which they did. The Bills winning, which they did. The Buccaneers and Chiefs, which they won as well. I picked the Cowboys to beat the 49ers. That was my downfall because the Cowboys, and that's another thing. We're going to talk about them for a good amount of this episode. We're going to talk about what went wrong and, well, not even what went wrong, just like another playoff loss. I think that's like their 11th consecutive season where they've made the playoffs, where they have yet to reach the conference championship game. That's the 11th like straight postseason appearance where this has happened. So, and then I picked the Cardinals to beat the Rams. And my prediction is, again, it blew up in my face. Matt Stafford and the Rams had a field day. It was 34-11. I'm not going to go too deep into the wild card round. I know we want to talk about the divisional rounds. And then, of course, the conference championship previews. The Chiefs blew out the Steelers, 42-21 in the wild card. Bucks beat the Eagles. We all knew this was coming. Bills blew out the Patriots. And the Bengals beat the Raiders. But again, let's hop right into the divisional rounds. Divisional round matchups. 49ers, once again, I don't know what it is. The 49ers didn't really put up a whole lot of offense in like both games. Like, I know they got some talented players. Receiving core. I know they got talented players like George Kittle and, of course, Deebo Samuel. But they only put 13 points up on the Packers. And you know what? I honestly thought, I was kind of surprised. I kind of thought the Packers were going to win that game via blowout, honestly. Packers fans might have seen the last of Aaron Rodgers. And that's another thing. We're going to get right into that in a little bit. Alongside the Cowboys and the Cowboys playoff failure once again. But the Bengals, they held on. They beat the Titans. That's another close game. They won 19-16. Joe Burrow, in his second year, has taken the league by storm. He's taken the Bengals to the AFC championship game. And like I said, that win against the Raiders was like, and I know this has nothing to do with their game against the Titans, but their win against the Raiders in the wild card round was their first playoff win in like 31 years, if I'm not mistaken, in like 30 something years. So Joe Burrow's doing big things for the Bengals, and he's got a talented receiving core as well. I mean, just look at the roster. But let's see. I mean, just like top to bottom. I mean, they got Tyler Boyd as a wide receiver. They got T. Higgins, of course, Jamar Chase, and of course, at the running back position, they got Joe Mixon. So they got a talented offense. But in that game, it really came down to who was gonna make the crucial mistake. It really came down to like one play. And Titans fans, I know you don't want to hear it, but it came down to that interception. Once Once Tannehill threw that interception, it just went completely south. It just went completely south for the Titans. And, of course, Evan McPherson nails it home to win the game. So, and punched the Bengals' ticket to the conference championship. All in all, speaking of, like, just divisional round games, forget just this game. This was, like, the best round of divisional games for the NFL that I've seen in a very long time. All the games were relatively close. Actually, no, they all were close. I mean, let's be honest. None of them were complete blowout. None of them were blowouts. Complete blowouts. Actually, they weren't even blowouts at all. Most of them were decided by a touchdown or a field goal. And that brings us to the Rams and Buccaneers game. I just got to say one thing. Like, Rams fans, are you, or not Rams fans, but the Rams, are you trying to give your fans a heart attack? Like, I'm not a Rams fan, but, like, even I was, like, at the edge of my seat because when Tom Brady's down, and the Rams were up 27-3. The Rams were up 27-3 at one point. This game should have been nowhere near close. This should have not been as close as it is. But the Rams make some big mistakes, a couple fumbles, of course, that bad snap, which led to the Buccaneers recovering. And then, you know, Tom Brady goes down the field, as he's done so many times in his career, and gives his team a chance to win. And then, but I also have to say, for the Buccaneers, like, you're not going to cover Cooper Kupp. Like, that's another thing. If that man gets open, you're in trouble. And they let him get open twice within the final, like, 30 seconds of the game. So basically the Rams' last possession of the game. He made a big catch, and then Stafford threw, I think, for a 44-yard bomb down the field to set the Rams up in field goal position. And the Rams ended up taking it home. They won off a field goal. And now, of course, there are, you know, with the Rams beating the Buccaneers, there's been conversation whether or not Tom Brady is done. I personally don't believe it. I don't think he's done. I think he's coming back for another round, whether that's for the Buccaneers or for another team. I think he's coming back. I just don't see him retiring. I just don't see him going out like that. I think if he's going to go out, he's going to win, try to get to another Super Bowl and win another Super Bowl and win his eighth Super Bowl and go out on top. So, yeah, I don't think this is the end for him. I think he'll be back. I don't know if it's going to be with the Buccaneers, though. And that brings us to the Packers game. Packers fans, I hate to say it, you probably saw the last of Aaron Rodgers in that uniform. I mean, I'm going to be honest. And if I'm going to be real, the Packers always disappoint. Like, if you don't even need to be a Packers fan. You could just be a football fan or a fan of whatever team. And if you're consistently watching the playoffs and you consistently see the Packers playing in the playoffs, they always find a way to disappoint. I don't know what it is. And another thing, the Packers in that game, their special teams unit, I'm pretty sure they only had like either 10 guys on the field for the last play of the game. Or like 10, they had like 10 guys or like 9 guys on the field. I think it was 10. But the special teams unit, from what I saw in that game, was atrocious. And a lot of people have been tweeting about it that it was atrocious that game. I mean, it was absolutely bizarre to see. And now a lot of people want to discuss where Aaron Rodgers is potentially heading in the offseason. Like I said, I have no idea where he's going to go, but I can almost guarantee. Actually, no, I can't guarantee. But I'm pretty sure everyone knows he's not coming back. I don't think he's going back to Green Bay. And I'm pretty sure the Packers are also going to have some major cap issues. I think they're going to be over the cap heading into next season. And They have cap issues to deal with. So there might be a few key pieces leaving other than Rodgers. So who knows what's happening. But again, that 49ers-Packers game, that was a great game. I mean, any postseason game you watch where a team's playing in Lambeau, in Lambeau Field, you know it's going to be a good one. Well, most of the time. I mean, I'm a Giants fan. The last time we were in Lambeau for a playoff game, it was 2017, I think. It didn't go well. Did not go well. It was a blowout. But again, the Packers, I don't want to lump the Packers and Cowboys together, but the Packers are quickly like, they're like following the Cowboys' footsteps for biggest underachievers in the postseason. And you can argue with me in the comments. You can, on my Instagram page, you can argue with me. Like, again, I just like, it's year after year. This team always, they always do well. And then when they get to the playoffs, they'll either win one playoff game and then completely fall apart, or they'll just collapse right out of the gate in the playoffs. So, again, I don't know what's going to happen moving forward for the Packers, but Packers fans, I hate to tell you, if Rodgers doesn't come back, you're screwed. Like, to simply put it, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You guys are screwed. And then the Chiefs-Bills, that was, to me, I don't even, as much as I loved every game this postseason so far, the Chiefs-Bills, that was like the Super Bowl. And I'm sure every other person is going to tell you the same thing. That felt like the Super Bowl. Both teams are going back and forth, back and forth. Whatever you could do, I could do better. And there was no defense. I'm going to be honest. There was, like, no defense on both sides. Like, just when when the Chiefs didn't make defensive stops, Josh Allen basically said, hold my beer, and went out, cut the deficit down, or tied the game. So, I mean, that game was just nuts. And then 13 seconds left, or actually, let's flash forward to, like, with like less than a minute left in the game. And I know a lot of people are going to talk about the overtime, the whole overtime supposed controversy with the coin toss and all that. I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's really like a huge thing. Cause like you need to play as much as everyone wants to complain about it. Like you should have stopped Patrick Mahomes from airing out 40-yard bombs to the likes of Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Like, seriously, I'm going to be honest. And I don't get me wrong. I feel bad for the Bill, for Josh Allen. That's the second year in a row they've gone out against the Chiefs. They've lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs. I feel bad for Josh Allen because he had a great game. But his defense sold. The Bills' defense completely sold, if I'm going to be honest with you. You give up, if I'm not mistaken, they also kicked it with like 30 seconds left when they punted it back to Kansas City towards the end of the game. They punted it like into the end zone, if I'm not mistaken. So that set them, that already set the Chiefs up in their own 25-yard line. Then you give up a big play to Kelce. You can't do that. And if you go back and look at that play, and by the way, Kelce didn't even run the correct route. You know, like there was a quote. Like there was a quote. I think you could go see it. I think Bleacher Report Gridiron posted about it, or Bleacher Report posted on it. That supposedly it wasn't even the right route, but Kelce was so wide open that Mahomes just threw it to him. Like, and that's the thing. If you're going to pull out big wins in big situations, you have to play defense. Like, you have to make those stops. And they couldn't. The Chiefs score with, like, in the final 13 seconds on a field goal. And then Chiefs win the coin toss that everyone's calling controversial. And I get it, like, overtime. Like, yeah, the other team should, like, at least get a chance to tie the game. Who knows? But if you, I'm sorry, the way I'm looking at it, like you're set. If you're not playing tight defense, like if you're not holding these guys down, like You're already behind the eight ball going into overtime. Like if you can't stop the likes of Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill, you're already behind the eight ball, and that's what happened. I mean, the Chiefs in overtime performed flawlessly, with incredible execution, and they're in the AFC Championship game for the fourth straight year. So again, Bills fans, I legitimately feel bad. I mean, I wanted to see you guys make the AFC Championship game. And a lot, you know, a lot of people saying, like, I'm sure a lot of Bills fans are very upset. But, like I said, it could be worse. Like, that game, either way, that game was incredibly entertaining to watch. It could be a whole lot worse. But, yeah. But yeah, if any Bills fans have a problem with what I said about the overtime thing, like, I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like I said, you kind of need your defense to come through in the big time, and in overtime it didn't happen. I would have loved to see Josh Allen get another chance, but gonna be honest with you, they didn't, and the defense didn't pull through. I mean, both defenses really didn't pull through. I'm going to be honest. It came down to offense, because again, defense wasn't a factor in that game. If there is one game where defense wasn't the deciding factor, it was the Bills and Chiefs game. And honestly, it felt like a Super Bowl, and I enjoyed every second of it, because that was a great game. That was hands down the game of the year. That was the game of the postseason. I don't want to hear any arguments. Anyway, and now we get to the... Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys for a minute before I get into the conference championship preview and then talk about the MLB Hall of Fame recent inductions, or the recent players getting the call to the Hall. Dallas, I'm going to be honest with you. What is going on? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I thought the Packers consistently, like, underachieved, but, like, it you know what? It doesn't even surprise me that the Cowboys lost in the first round. I mean, Packers fans tried to warn you. Not even just Packers fans. NFL fans tried to warn you about Mike McCarthy. I mean, and I'm pretty sure you're also going to have a cap problem heading into next season. So, good luck with that. But that's another year of wasting Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. And if I'm going to be honest with you, you're probably not going to have too many more years of that left. But at the same time, if Rodgers goes to the AFC and like Tom Brady retires, you're going to have no excuses. Like, you're going to have like no more excuses not to at least make a push for the Super Bowl. But I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see that happening anytime soon. Like, yeah, they got CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, of course, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Michael Gallup. But again, they always, that group has underachieved in the playoffs every single year. And I'm going to be honest with you, I really... like I said, I don't like the Cowboys, but they've been one of the best, if not the best team in the NFC East for the better half of, I'd say, the last like 6 years, like last 6-7 years. Let's be honest, the Giants the Giants have struggled. The Eagles had their Super Bowl run in 2018, and they kind of fell apart. And then the Washington football team, you get the big picture. But, yeah, I just don't see that. That was probably the most if you're a Cowboys fan, that's probably the most deflating playoff loss you've ever seen. And the thing is, I can't wait for people to, I honestly cannot wait for people to say to, or Cowboys fans specifically, to say their team is going to win the Super Bowl again once football season comes back around. I'm really waiting for it, because we all know, I'm going to be honest, it's not going to happen. They keep saying it year after year, and it just doesn't happen. But anyway, and again, having Mike McCarthy as head coach, I don't think that was a good idea. You know, like, yeah, your win to loss ratio was good, but let's be honest, Dak Prescott and the offense was scary. And of course, Parsons, you have Parsons on the defensive side. So yeah, you have Parsons carrying the defense, and I believe Trayvon Diggs as well. Trayvon Diggs was playing well for the Cowboys. Yeah, so Trayvon Diggs and, of course, Parsons on the defense. And then, of course, you got the offense. So you literally have no reason not to go far in the playoffs next year. Like, the defense is pretty loaded. The offense is obviously really, really stacked. But honestly, you better get it done. Like, or else people are really going to keep making fun of you. But anyway, let's, and then to conclude the episode, MLB, more specifically, the Hall of Fame. A couple players got the call to the Hall. Actually, one person got the call to the Hall, and that was David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox. Like I said, well, actually, I didn't even say it yet, but congratulations to Big Poppy, to David Ortiz, to getting to the Hall of Fame. First ballot, might I add. Of course, I am a Yankees fan, so, you know, he always torched us. He always torched the Yankees in the playoffs, which I didn't enjoy, but he was one hell of a player. And I think it's deserved that he's getting into the Hall of Fame. But that's not the real headline here. It's the fact that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens haven't gotten into the Hall of Fame. And I'm not trying to take away from David Ortiz getting into the Hall. That's a huge deal for, like, that's a huge deal for Red Sox fans, because, like, that's their guy. He's been the face of the Red Sox for how many years? He's played a key role in their World Series winning teams in 04, 07, and 2013. I don't think he was part of 2018. No, he wasn't. No, because I think he retired in 2016. Yeah. But again, but we also got to talk about the fact that, Barry Bonds didn't make it, and Roger Clemens, and this was their final years on the ballot. This was their final years on the ballot. At this point, I'm kind of thinking, like, just let them in. Like, at this point, just let them in. You should have just let them in. Like, I see, this is why, like, the baseball writers, like, I really can't trust them, and I think a majority of baseball fans can't trust them. And I'm going to be honest with you, like, say what you want. If you go back and look at Barry Bonds' highlight tape before the steroids, he was already projected to have a Hall of Fame career. The same thing with Roger Clemens. Like, say what you want. Those two should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to be honest with you. And remember, the Baseball Writers of Association of course, you know, the Baseball Writers Association of America, or... Baseball writer, yeah, I believe that's what it is. Yeah, the Baseball Writers Association of America, like, I'm gonna be honest, and at that point, like, I feel like they're just still holding a grudge over this, like, and I'm gonna be honest, I don't like players obviously using steroids, especially in baseball, but I can recognize talent when I see it, like, even before the steroids. And you can make the argument all you want for this. Like, say what you want. Like, A-Rod was a great player. Like, Alex Rodriguez, he was a great player before the steroids. And that goes for Barry Bonds, of course, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. So why shouldn't these two be in the Hall? That's my question. You know, this is the same group, the Baseball Writers Baseball Writers of America, that won't even consider You know, remember, folks, Pete Rose got banned for life because of betting on his own team, even though he never took steroids in his life, and he never took steroids, and was one of the best hitters in baseball. You know, the fact that Pete Rose isn't even in the Hall of Fame either, that's a complete joke. That kind of, like, these two incidents, like, kind of shows you how much people really dislike the Baseball Writers Association of America. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. And do I believe Pete Rose? And I know a lot of people are going to make the argument, well, Pete Rose gambled on his team, it influenced the integrity of the game. Yeah, okay. But he should be up there. He should at least be up there in the Hall of Fame. He should be up there in the Hall of Fame. Like, remember, and this goes back, like, if Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, of course, two of some of the greatest players I've seen in my lifetime in baseball, if they're on the ballot, like, Pete Rose should have been on the ballot, but nope. He gets caught gambling and not taking PEDs, and he gets banned for life. Makes no sense. But, yeah, if there are three players that should be in the Hall of Fame, it's Bonds. And say what you want. Again, well, you know, taking steroids and all that. Well, like, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, say what you want. Again, go back and look at his highlights. Even during the years he was taking steroids, he was on pace for a Hall of Fame career. And to be honest with you, like, just let him in. Let him in. Like, he was, regardless of the vendetta and the grudge that many Baseball Association writers of America have against Barry Bonds for taking steroids, he was a generational talent. The same thing for Roger Clemens. Both of them should have been in. I just think that whole thing is an absolute... I think they should have gone in alongside Big Poppy, if I'm going to be honest with you. They both should have been in alongside David Ortiz. Like I said, big congrats to David Ortiz. Like, it's well deserved. But Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds should have been in there alongside with him. But I know a lot of people are gonna say, well, again, the whole steroids thing. Like, at this point, I don't care. I just don't care about that. Like, if you go back and this is where my opinion, like, my opinion kind of changed. Like, my opinion at first was like, Barry Bonds really, like, with the whole steroid use, when I first learned about that, like, all right, yeah, he should definitely not be in the Hall of Fame. That was my opinion at first. And then I started looking more in depth at his highlights before, during, and after usage. And he was the thing is, I looked at his highlights before in depth and close up, and his highlights before the usage, he was on pace for a Hall of Fame career already. And all of that, because, like, I was really young at the time. So when I started watching baseball, and I knew Barry Bonds was, I believe, still in the league at the time before this happened. And then, like, looking back on it now, my opinion's completely changed on him. I absolutely believe, after watching those highlights, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And the same thing goes for Roger Clemens. And I'm not trying to be a little biased, because Roger Clemens was a Yankee at one point, winning a couple World Series titles too. But that's besides the point. He was also a talented player, one of the best pitchers I've seen. You know, like, when I was growing up, especially on the Yankees, man. But anyway, just the whole Hall of Fame thing. I understand why a lot of people don't take the Baseball Writers Association of America and some of the voters and the people who decide who gets in seriously. But anyway, that's it for this episode. Just wanted to get all that off my chest. And I'll catch you in episode 35. Peace.